feel good to be in Michigan outdoors. I hope you had a great time at the beach in Holland. And today, welcome to Powell Park. We will be coming back next week. So come back next week with food and a friend. We'll talk more about that. We may be in this shelter, or maybe we'll be in that, but we'll be one of them. All right. A few days ago, maybe you heard the news, maybe you didn't hear the news. The southern part of India, there was a big monsoon rain, and it kind of washed out many cities. A lot of cities underwater. And I just found out that there's at least 300 people have already died. And 1,000 now. Man, Cynthia got the latest news. 1,000 people already lost their lives, and I think 200,000, 250,000 are displaced. They lost all their homes, got washed away. Some of the videos, I couldn't even believe it. We were watching after the Campus Devo Friday night. It's just unbelievable. One sad news, but also good news. My mom's sister had to live on the roof. On the terrace, there's no roof like that. She had to live on it for 3 days. I got really humbled, and I was like, man, would I be ready to do that? No food, no water. The power was gone. Nobody could call her, maybe till the battery runs out. But they're all good. I think my sister said they came down to the first floor, and slowly the water's coming down. But it's a disaster. I think Hope is helping out today. Bless Paul's heart. Paul has taken a truck of supplies. Paul, the missionary, Simon's dad. They've gone today to 3 cities to distribute food. So Simon and I were concerned. Take care. Make sure you come back because cars don't go. Once you go, you're not coming back. So it's just one of those situations. But appreciate Paul stepping out in faith and that kind of thing. Okay, so today we're going to talk about power of the Word. Power of the Word. We talked about last Sunday God's power, how powerful He is. He can change anything, anywhere, anytime. And that's how God is very sovereign, and He is all-knowing, and God is just very powerful. But today I want to talk about this power in the Word. Power in the Word. In Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, the Bible says the Word of God is living and active. It's alive today, in the 21st century, not in the first century alone. People say that, well, you know, times have changed and people didn't have anything to do back then and no jobs. They were poor, so they were quickly accepted it. No, that was just like today. There's a lot of sin, a lot of people are working, but today, the Word doesn't change. People change. But I want to teach the church. I want to be able to help you understand that we have to rely more on the Word. We need to use more Word in our conversations with each other, godly, and less of our words. Because sometimes we want to talk a lot, and that's okay. You know, we want to confess sin and talk and all that. It's all good. But at the end of the day, you're surrendering, your journey is surrendering more and more to God's Word because that's where the power is. And that's how we get more and more power. And I appreciate Sal coming back from the MIT training in Kansas. And he said, every day they would take a scripture, the same scripture, and they will dwell on it. That means they're going to sit on it. You know, people say, we sit on it, we think about it, we got to sleep at it, we eat it, you know, like they say that in football coaching. You got to love football, you got to eat football, you got to... Right, Perry? You heard that? But in the same way, God is saying, let God's Word dwell deeply. James 1 talks about being planted. Humbly, let God's Word be planted, which can save you. Amen to that. But I want to take it a little more higher with that. In Mark 8, 31, 32, Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that He must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. We heard this in our lifetime, in our Christian world, that he will die one day. He prophesied, prophecy came true. But when the scripture talks about Marcus saying he spoke plainly, the actual translation is being bold. It's being bold. Now, we don't put that thing together, right? We think being bold is being loud or rude or like, oh, you know, he's just angry. Or, you know, we take different meaning with that, a different kind of understanding. But the word bold in Greek is pharahisia. Means openly, freely, plainly. I'm plainly speaking to the church. That means I'm being bold saying it. Does that make sense? Because, you know, a lot of times people say, well, I'm not a bold person. I'm not outspoken. I can't talk to people. Well, you don't have to. Just speak to them plainly. And that's why a lot of scriptures in the Bible speak the truth in love. Speak it plainly. How many times Christ said that? Speak it plainly. This meaning, the bold, plainly, freely, is mentioned 42 times in New Testament. 42 times, and I'm going to share a few here. It's not pushy, it's not being loud or crazy or rude or demanding or obnoxious. It's speaking the truth plainly. And I want this fall, this year, part of soaring like an eagle, is to speak plainly to people, to each other, to other people in the church, outside the church. Speak God's word plainly is being bold. Amen to that? So we can do that. And I've seen a lot of you doing it, but we can take it higher. Amen? Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee, but no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You know, when we are righteous before God, we can speak the truth plainly to one another. Someone did that a long time ago, and we are here. Isn't it true? Just think about it. Somebody had the courage to open the Bible, turn the Bible, okay, to Matthew. And they're like, where's Matthew? It's in the middle. Oh, that's good. But all that is being bold, right? Righteous will become more bold, or they'll be plainly speaking the truth. Amen to that. Acts 2:29, brothers, I may say to you with confidence, same meaning. Acts 4:12, 13, no one else know the name much which must we be saved. Same thing, same meaning, plainly, boldly. Acts 4:13, when they saw the boldness of Peter, when they saw Peter and John plainly speaking the truth, they understood they've been with Jesus because Jesus did the same thing. He spoke the truth plainly. He spoke boldly. Amen to that. Goes on, you know, Peter and John, I think after they came out of the prison and they were with people, they said, we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. They couldn't shut them down. The Pharisees, the people, the local authority, they couldn't stop him. You know, it took many years for me to learn this lesson. You know, maybe it's for you. Maybe you're in the middle of it. Maybe you're still learning. Or maybe you're beginning to learn wherever you're at. Is I want us to practice that in our group. We're going to break into groups in a few minutes. But really speaking the truth and not keeping stuff in our heart. Now, if you got something towards somebody personally, I've said this maybe 1,000 times. How many times, Pat? I don't know. 500, maybe 1,000 times. If you have something towards a person, come talk plainly. And that's being bold. Amen to that. And you say, hey, brother, the other day you said that. Oh, I did? Yeah, you said that. And maybe I just want to keep it in my heart. I just want to be open. I want to just confess it. You know, you're speaking plainly, being bold. And the other brother said, you did what? No. plainly, you say, hey, you know what? You're right, brother. I apologize. And there is a bond, there's a resolve. Plainly, boldly. And that's how you grow. Amen to that. In Acts chapter 4, when they were getting persecuted, they prayed for boldness. They prayed that they can speak plainly to people. Amen to that. They didn't say, take the persecution away. They said, help us, enable us so we can be more bold. Maybe we can have strength to speak more plainly. Maybe it's a hard thing for you to speak up. Maybe you don't like confrontation. Maybe you kind of know in your head, well, if I bring it up to this brother or sister, I'm going to get pushed back, or I'm going to have some drama here. But pray for that so you can grow. Amen to that. I don't know how many times I've prayed about this. God, help me to speak to my boss. God, help me to speak to that persecutor who hates me. It was hard. Older than easy. God, help me to speak to that leader or evangelist or elder or my peer. My peers in Chicago and all over. I had to pray because I wasn't having that strength. Are you with me? And we don't shut down. We don't pull away or withdraw, which Satan wants us to divide. We need to pray for that. God, help me to speak the truth plainly to others. Amen to that. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Did I lose anybody? Oh, good. That was the main point, but this is the real main point here. We see a story here how Jesus heals a paralytic and he speaks boldly and plainly. Let's pick up reading chapter 2, verse 1. A few days later, check this out. I think this is really cool. When Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So Jesus had a home. They knew he's coming home. Do people know you're coming home? Man, they all knew. And so they kind of congregated there, and goes on to say many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to him. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof. Now, how do you feel about someone coming in and making a hole in your roof? Would you have feelings? Would you be calm? Would you be okay with that? Go ahead! It's pretty intense here, right? They made an opening in the roof about Jesus after digging through it. So there was a process there, right? If you ever done that, roofing, digging through, we always cover the roof, but this time, they're opening it up. They're breaking it up. His own home. I don't know how Mary felt. Hey, Sonny, Jesus, who are these people? Are you going to do something about it? They're breaking the roof. Hello? I'm sure maybe there was a conversation not recorded. I'm just making it up. Maybe. I don't know. But whatever the commotion could have been during that process, he was very calm. Look what he says. Lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. Isn't it amazing? I mean, this is the Son of God. He knows what people are thinking. It was recorded. Mark knew about it. He can tell in a person's spirit if they are positive or they're negative, or they're critical, or they're with them. Now, I wish we had that wisdom. Maybe we'll grow over time. Maybe we will. Maybe not. Maybe we will. But I really believe as you grow in confidence and grow in spirituality, you'll get a why. God will give you that wisdom if you ask for it. and then you can help them. Are we all good with that? Again, speak plainly, boldly.
Amen.
Let's continue. There he goes, confronting. Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. We looked at the power of the word. The secondly, power of a team. You know, the four were unified. They were carrying the same mat. They had one purpose. They were in a triad. They had compassion. All four were totally zinced together. They wanted to help the fifth guy. Amen to that. Amen, church. They believed only Jesus can help them. They were desperate. You think they were desperate breaking a roof here? They didn't have any excuses. Oh, you know, guys, I think we need to go to another city, another town. Sorry, the house is full, inside and out. Let's go home. Let's take the body back. No. They figured out a way how to get that person to Jesus. And it's going to take that four people. It's going to take our family groups. It's going to take our church with that kind of compassion, that boldness, and talking and collaborating together is where the fruit is. Amen to that. So at this time, I have a mat, and Jason wanted to volunteer. He's around close to 100 pounds, so we need some four strong brothers. But we're all sharing this together. So I think, Jason, you can be in this right here. You can lie down. We're not bringing through the roof, else Kent County is going to cancel that. Go ahead and lie down. Okay, Lee, let's have Chris, Sal, and we need one more. Who got muscles? Simon, let's go. Okay. Okay, we need another brother who's fired up to... Kevin. Kevin, you got only one hand left. Come on. No. Connor, you want to come? Okay, we got Walter. All right. All right, Walter, man. He, by the way, he chosen to be the captain for the rugby team at Calvin. Amen to that. All right. Okay, go ahead. And let's carry him all the way on your top, as if there's a roof on top. And now slowly lower him down. If somebody can take a picture of this, I'll see it. Okay, do it again. Sorry, Jason, just for the picture. Is that heavy? That's four people for eight hands. All right, cool. Thank you. Let's give a hand to all of them. Thanks, brothers. He can walk. Hey, by the way, take the mat and walk. The four had to believe. The four had to see a need. Maybe one of them said, no, you're not paralyzed. Let him walk on his own. I don't know. Maybe they were not. They have some issues there. They needed a triad before to talk about it. They got to get unified. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to sit in groups. Are you ready in your family groups? Ron's going to lead the Ada group, I think, right over here. It's already set up. We're going to have Brett, if you could coordinate Lowell and Kentwood, because Jeremy's is gone. So if you can do that, right in that corner. And Jeff and Sal, if you can head the campus together. And then Chris will be able to lead the singles. And finally, James can lead the downtown right over here. That sound good? So let's go ahead and take 2 minutes to come together and sit in our groups. All right. At this time, we're going to take the communion as a group. I hope it was a very meaningful discussion. You know, we got to do this usual, like, you know, just talking about different needs and working together. I think the more we do that as a group, God bless us. So we will not be perfect, but when Jesus sees our faith, we are working together and helping another person come to Christ. That's huge. And if all the groups do that with the singles and campers or married people, God bless us. So at this time, we're going to take, if you haven't got a communion cup or bread or wine, please raise your hand so we'll pass around and we'll have a prayer. Beautiful day. Thank you, God, we can come together, Lord. And God, I'm just so blown away by it. They don't make any excuses to bring somebody who needs help to Jesus. And they found him. They found their home. They found the address. They were a little bit late into the meeting, but they made it happen. God, they worked together. I can't even believe that. They carried the whole body up the house. And they found a way. Maybe there was a ladder. Maybe they broke a window going up. I don't know. But God, they finally took him on top. And then finally they had to then wait till they break the roof. They had to find out where Jesus was standing. And they had to break it through with their bare hands maybe. They had tools. I have no idea, Lord. They worked together. And they finally lowered, without dropping him. It would have been really bad. But they brought him down. And Jesus was impressed by their faith. Lord, I pray that each of our groups, we can work together, that we can talk, we can be resolved, we can make plans to advance your kingdom. Whether it's a service project or a potluck or church or a Bible talk, that we can learn to work together, that we can be a part, a helping hand in lowering the paralytic down the roof and making sure that they connect with God. Lord, help us to be that group, reaching out, looking out for the needs. God, as we take the bread and the wine, and let us remember that's what you did. When you walked on the streets, when you walked the Sea of Galilee, Nazareth, Bethlehem, you had that. You wanted a community of people, of disciples working together. Letting go of all other attitudes or negative or bitterness or whatever it is, Lord. They let their guard down. And God, you could use them so powerfully. God, we pray for an amazing next week, rib cook-off, where we can have double the church right here. We can have tons of ribs, and God, you bless us with money and ribs. And God, even more, we give our hearts to that contribution goal. A goal we have never done this high of 15,000. We want to hire a campus minister. We want to raise people up. We want to have an amazing church here in Grand Rapids. Thank you for Cornerstone and their willingness to just trust us, Lord, and not have any complications. Thank you as we enjoy the atmosphere, the beautiful 70, 75 weather, as we take the bread and the wine. Let's remember the sacrifice that we too can do the same thing. We love you in His name. Amen.